The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Kisetze. The Parsha begins, Kisetze la milchoma ala ivecho. When you go to war against your enemies, when the sonei Hashem alekecho biyodecho, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give over the enemies into your hands. Yushavisa shivyei, and you will capture captives. Ve'reisi b'shivyo, b'shivyo eshish yifas to'ar. And you will see amongst the captives a very beautiful woman, v'choshakta bo, and you will desire her, v'lakachta chol isho. So you may take her as a wife. Then the Torah tells us exactly what you should do. You should bring her into your house. And it's a whole process. Now this woman that the Torah has permitted you to take as a wife is actually illegal according to Torah law, because she's a non-Jewess. And according to various, depends on various opinions in the Gemara, but according to one opinion in the Gemara, it's speaking before Gerus that you're allowed to take her. And the first physical relationship that you can have with her is before conversion. If it would be a forced conversion, that also would be illegal. So basically, this woman would be not permitted. Here, the Torah has permitted us to take her. So Rashi tells us, Le'dibra Torah ela keneged yetzahara. The Torah is speaking only because of the yetzahara, because of man's human nature. And the desire which the Yetzer Hara places in him. Shimena Kodesh Baruch Hu Matiro Yisraenu B'Yisr. Because there's the possibility if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow this person to take her, he'll take her even though she's forbidden. So therefore it's better that he should permit her than leave her forbidden and leave the person transgress the law of the Torah. So therefore, if he has such a great desire for her, then he's allowed to take her. Great brachas will not come from this, the Torah tells us. Rashi continues. Great brachas will not come. It's not something that the Torah permitted in the first instance, the chatchila. But, nevertheless, the Torah did permit you to take her. The source where Rashi brings from is the Gemara Masechet Gerushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Chof Alef Amud Beis, at the end of Amud Beis, tells us Tana Rabbonin. You fast tayar. It says that you go to war and you see amongst the captives a very beautiful woman. From here we learn that the Torah is only speaking because of the Yetzirah, because of the nature, the evil nature of a person. How do we know that? Because we see that the grounds of this heter, of this dispensation, was because she's a Yafas Torah. She was very beautiful. Rashi tells us, "Mashma miteich shemizgara bo yitzrei machmas yefi hitirulei." It seems it implies that because he is driven to take her, because of her beauty, therefore hitirulei, therefore the Torah permitted him. Ubekushi, see, and with great difficulty the Torah permitted it. And then the Gemara continues, "Mutav shiyechlu Yisrael bosa temuseis." It's better for Yisrael. The Gemara gives an example. Example is, it's better for Yisrael to eat meat of an animal that's about to die, but that's shchuta, that's shechted properly, than to eat meat of an animal that dies and becomes nevela. For example, if a person is going to eat meat from an animal, and the animal is a misukenis, the animal is an animal which is dying, if he quickly shechs it before it dies, then the meat is kosher. But it's not such good meat. But it's better that in such a case that he should at least shecht it and eat it, then let the animal die, and then it will be nevela. If it dies without shechita, then it's meat which is prohibited. Similarly, in this case, if he sees a captive, and she's beautiful, and he desires her, v'choshaktabo, so the Torah said it's better that we should make some kind of dispensation for him, even though perhaps great brachas won't come from it, then he should take her be'isur, he should take her where it's prohibited. Also the Gemara says further, actually the Gemara before this Gemara which we quoted, but on the same daf, Gemara asked the question, Iboiluhu, Kohen, mahu biyafasteyar. What would be the halacha, what would be the law if the soldier is a Kohen? And he sees a beautiful captive. And he desires her. Is he also permitted to take her or not? Chidushu leishno kein veleishno Yisrael. Do we say that since this is a chidush, this is a law which is very novel, very unique, because according to the structure of the halacha, this would not be permitted. So since it's a very unique law, so there's no difference in regards to Yisrael or in regards to a kohen. Or Dilma Shani Kohanim Hoyil Riba Behen Mitzvah Shiseris. Or maybe Kohanim are different, because Kohanim have more sanctity, they have more Kedusha. We see this from the fact that the Torah gave them more mitzvahs. A principle we have is that Kol HaMarubim B'mitzvahs, whoever has more mitzvahs is more sanctified than the one who has less mitzvahs. So a Kohen has more sanctity, maybe the Torah didn't permit it for him. So then the Gemara says, Rabo Mamuter, Shmuel Amasa, Bebir Ishayne Kule Amalei Pligi Dishori Delei Dibritei Relel Keneged Yitzohoro. To take her and to have a physical relationship with her at least once, this the Torah permitted even for a Kohen. Because the whole reason why the Torah permitted this was because it is taking into consideration the Yitzohoro, the nature of the person, and the drives that he has. So then there shouldn't be any difference between whether this is a Kohen or this is a Yisrael. Except then the Gemara goes into the question whether he can keep her as a permanent wife or not. So we see this principle, Leidibra Torah, Ela Keneged Yetzohor, that the Torah has made special dispensations because it takes into consideration the frailty of the human being. Now we can ask a good question here. If that's the case, so why over here and not by all mitzvahs? We should do that all the time by all mitzvahs. The Torah should permit us to eat nevela because of the yetzahara of the person. If it won't permit us to eat nevela, then we'll do it b'isur, we'll do it even though it's prohibited. The Torah should permit us to take other women that are forbidden to us because of taking into consideration the human nature of the person. Otherwise we'll do it b'isur, like we see. We see many people do what we're not allowed to do. So why over here? This question is a question that we've asked for many, many years. Just recently I found that the Torah Tamima asked this question also. He gives an answer, because since we're speaking about a soldier who's at war and we don't want to overburden the soldier with more than necessary, because we must try to accommodate the soldier as much as possible, he has enough pressures on him because of the war effort, therefore the Torah was lenient here. Actually, I think you can give a much better answer, which we've done in the past. And here specifically, we have to reckon with the Yetzer Hara, with the frailty of the human being. Generally, by all mitzvahs, the Torah has taken into consideration the Yetzer Hara and still gave us the mitzvahs. But here we're speaking during the time of war, and this soldier has been commanded to kill, to be Shefech Dam, and he's going now to destroy. And this is something which is really contrary to the human being. This is contrary to the nature and to the order of the human being. And in such a situation, he is placed in an entirely unbalanced situation. The person is in a comparatively peaceful situation. All right, then he's a balanced person. When a soldier has to go to war, and he has to kill, and he has to destroy, and the human emotions of compassion and of pity cannot manifest themselves, but he has to become ruthless and cruel. This is creating a situation of complete unbalance in him. And at that time, the Torah saw that it's almost an impossibility for him to rule over himself, to be the ruler over himself, to be the king over himself, and the ruler over all of his drives and his emotions. We are taking now the emotions of hatred and the emotions of revenge, and we are telling him not to control them, but to spur them on and to let them control him. So the Torah saw that to tell the soldier that at the same time he should keep such a level of morality, of perfection, this would perhaps be too much for the person. And he wouldn't be able to do it. Therefore, here the Torah said, Mutav, it's better that he should be keep the Torah than transgress it. And therefore, the Torah gave him this permission to take this woman. Le'dibra Torah, Eloke Neged Yetzohora. At any rate, what we do see from here is when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael Torah and mitzvahs, these were not mitzvahs which are beyond the person. The human nature was taken into consideration. Many people think mitzvahs are very far from a person. It's impossible to fulfill all of the mitzvahs. It's impossible to grow great in Torah. It's too much beyond me. That's not true. We see that the Torah has taken into consideration the weaknesses of the human being. This is a principle. If the Torah would not take that into consideration, then there would be no halacha of Yefas Torah in this case. So we see from here that mitzvahs are not something which are beyond the person or above the person, but they're keneged ha'odom. They're directly close to the person. They complement the person. And all of human weaknesses are taken into consideration when mitzvahs were given to a person. And this is what our Chazal tell us in many places. Le'nitnu Torah le'malachi ha'shoros. Torah was not given to the angels. It was given to the human being. And if it was given to the human being, it must be in a way that it can be fulfilled by a human being. Or, for example, the sages tell us, v'chai bohem, the Torah and mitzvahs are to live by. So from there we learn, v'chai bohem v'leish yomos bohem. We are obligated to do mitzvahs that we can live by. We are not obligated to do mitzvahs if mitzvahs kill us. Because the Torah is a teres chayim. It was given to people of this earth. It was given to living people. If a mitzvah is going to be so difficult that it would kill the person, then that's not a mitzvah. And this is this principle. This that we say, that mitzvahs are actually very close to a person. They're not to the right or to the left of him. They're not beyond him. This the Maralmi Prague in a Sefer Tferes Yisrael, in the beginning, elaborates on. He asks the question. What would we say is the perfection of man in this world? Would we say that man's worldly achievements, for example, if a person is a professional, what he can accomplish as a professional, if he's a laborer, what he can accomplish as a laborer, if he's a businessman, what he can accomplish as a businessman, would we say that these are his perfections and the manifestation of his completeness on this world? She says, we cannot say that. Because the Gemara, there's an interesting Gemara at the end of Masechet Kedushin, and I've paid Beis on the Beis. The Gemara says, Tanya Reb Shimon Belezer Eimer. Reb Shimon Belezer said, Miyomai Lari Isi Tzvi Kaitz Bari Sovel Vishu'ol Chenvoni. He said, I never saw in my life a deer which would go about drying fruit. He would harvest fruit, put it in the sun to dry it out. Or I never saw a lion that had a position of a porter, where a lion is very strong, where he would carry things for other people to make a living. Shuol. Or I never saw a fox. The fox is very clever. I never saw a fox as a shopkeeper. A fox open up a shop and make a living by it. V'heim mispansim shelei betzar. So we see that they do not have to go through all types of difficulties to prepare themselves for various professions or livelihoods. And still we see that their parnosa shelei betzar, that their livelihood comes without great difficulty. Because all they have to do is go into the forest and pick the fruit or wait for their food to come along. And they were created only to serve me. I was created to serve my master, my creator. So the others who were only created to serve me, and their livelihood comes easily to them, I that was created to serve my master, so certainly my livelihood should come very easily to me. So Reb Shimon Belozer asked a good question. All of the animals were created to serve me, and I was created to serve the Almighty. And they don't have to go to university or go to colleges or train themselves. For a livelihood, their parnosa comes easily to them. So how much more so should my parnosa come easily to me? So why do we see that man has to struggle so much for parnosa? Elo shahare oisi es masai vikipachti es parnososai. Parnososi. That's how it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be that my parnosa also came easily. When man was placed in Gan Eden, when he was created, so there the Torah tells us that a river came through Gan Eden, and it watered all of the trees and all of the plants in Gan Eden, and there was no problem with parnosa. But man was driven out of Gan Eden because Haraisi es masai ubikipachti es parnosasi, because of his deeds. Since his deeds brought to him his downfall. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his parnoso, which had come easily. Shenemar aveneseichem hitu. Hatu. That the aveneseichem, your averes, your transgressions, this has caused your downfall. So what do we see from here? That according to the original plan of the creation of the world, The animal kingdom was not supposed to suffer for lack of panoso, and man certainly was not supposed to suffer for lack of panoso. And the animal kingdom was destined where their panoso would come easily to them, and the same with man. This, that we have to struggle for a livelihood, is because of our deeds, which caused us to fall from that level that existed at the time of the creation. So the morale brings out a very good point. How can you say that people's professional abilities or their professional achievements, these are the perfections of man, these are the handiwork of man? According to the plan of the creation, this would not have existed at all. It would never have existed. And the reason why it does exist is because of the downfall of man, not because of the greatness of man. So contrary to the way the nations of the world might think, that they think if a person is a good speaker, or if he's an artist, or if he's a jeweler, or if he's a teacher, or if he's a doctor, if he's a lawyer, whatever he might be, these are all very important. But we cannot say that this is the ultimate manifestation of the perfection of man, when according to the plan of creation, this was never included. But this is something which only came because of man's downfall. So then he asks, so then what then? Where is the manifestation of man's perfection? So then he brings, that's Torah mitzvahs. The fruits of man are Torah mitzvahs. Just like if you have a tree, and a tree is just potential. Its fruits are the manifestation of its perfection. So is it with man. He's potential. He's created from the Adama, from the earth, and he was given a name. Adam, mino ha-Adama, because he came from the earth. And the earth is something which is entirely potential. So is man. What are his perfections? This is Torah and mitzvahs. What does this mean? That man was given a nefesh. He was given a soul. The nations of the world were given one soul. Klal Yisrael, they were given a soul of a higher level. To the nations of the world, they were given seven mitzvahs. Those seven mitzvahs bring out the perfection of their nefesh, of their soul. Klal Yisrael, that was given a nefesh of a much higher level, they were given 613 mitzvahs. These 613 mitzvahs bring out the perfection of man's soul, of Yisrael's soul. Now, right from here we see that mitzvahs are not something which are detached or divorced from a person. Many people think that a mitzvah is something which is divorced from a person. It's detached. It's to the contrary. The soul encompasses all of the 613 mitzvahs. Just as a tree encompasses the power to give forth its fruit. The potential is realized when a person does the mitzvahs, or when a person studies the Torah. And why 613? He brings the Gemara at the end of Masechet Makis. Dorish Reb Samloi. Reb Samloi said, why 613 mitzvahs? Shin Samach Hei, 365 mitzvahs keneged Yemei Sachama, which correlate to the 365 days of the orbit of the sun. Veresh Mem Ches, in 248 mitzvahs, which keneged Evorif Shal Odom, which correlate to the Evorif Shal Odom, to the different parts of the human body, the limbs of the human body. What is the explanation of this? The sun is the Shomer. He guards the universe. The sun was called the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so he created the Or HaGodol LeMemsheles HaYoim, the great light to rule the day, and this was the sun. So he is known as the Melech, the king of the physical world. What is the object, what is the obligation of a king? To rule over society, to hold it in order, to call it in order, and to hold it in order. This is the sun. He rules the physical world, and we see scientifically he does. Because with his magnetic field, he holds the entire orbit and all the celestial beings, the entire universe in order, in a perfect order. And this is his cycle of 365 days. The negative commandments were given to Klal Yisrael to keep him in order, that he shouldn't deviate to the right or to the left. He was given 365 negative commandments. And why 365? Just like in the sun, there are 365 points in his cycle by which he controls and keeps in order the universe, so were the 365 mitzvahs given to Israel to keep them in a perfect order. These are the negative commandments. The positive commandments, Resh Mem Ches 248, this correlates with the different parts of the human being, the different evorim, the different limbs of the human being. Because each mitzvah is connected, each mitzvah correlates with a particular limb of the human being. And each mitzvah brings out the perfection of that limb, of that unit. And thereby, someone fulfills a mitzvah, he perfects himself. He fulfills all of the mitzvahs, he perfects himself completely. So we see that mitzvahs are keneged Adam. They correlate with man. They are not something which are beyond man, far away from man. He brings the Medrash Zohar, in which the Medrash Zohar writes a little differently. 613 mitzvahs, 365 which correlates to the gidin, 365 which correlates to the tendons of the person, and 248 which correlate to the limbs of the person. According to the Zohar, it all relates to the person. So this he writes that there's really no argument in principle. The meaning is the same. Because the human being is structured where the tendons hold the human being in place. The tendons support and reinforce the body. While the limbs, they are the actual body. And therefore the 365 negative commandments correlate with all of the tendons which support and structure the body, and the 248 positive commandments that correlates with all of the evorim, with all of the limbs which are the actual body itself. So from here we gain a further insight that one should not think that mitzvahs are something which are divorced from a person, but rather they are intertwined and bound intimately with the human being. This is what the Torah tells us in Parshas Nitzavim. Parshas Nitzavim, Perek Lamed, Posuk Yud Aleph. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Ki ha-mitzvah azeis asher anechi metzavcha hayom, the mitzvah which I am commanding to you today, le-niflesi mimcho, it is not beyond you, ve-le-rechekehi, and it's not far away from you, le-va-shomayim hi, It's not in the heavens. Lemor mi al elono ashamayim vikochei elono v'yashmeino yisavanase. No, it's not in the heavens where you could say who can crawl into the heavens in order to get the mitzvahs and to do them. And it's not on the other side of the sea where one might say who can go across the sea to gather up the mitzvahs. But the Torah and the mitzvahs are very close to the person, very close in his mouth and in his heart to fulfill them. Now this is the explanation which we see in Yefas Torah. A mitzvah cannot be contrary to the person. A mitzvah cannot be something which cannot identify with the person, because it's something which is part of the person. And therefore, when the Torah saw that the mitzvah of Yefas Torah was too much contrary to the human being, then the mitzvah became different, and he was permitted to take her. And this is what the Torah tells us: Le'dibra Torah Elo Keneged Yitzhahora. That when the Torah gave mitzvahs, it had to take into consideration the essence of the human being. And this is what our Chazal meant when they said, Le'nitna Torah L'malachei Ashoros. Mitzvahs were not given to the angels; they were given to the human being, and therefore they must be able to identify with the human being. If a mitzvah kills a person, then it's not a mitzvah, because mitzvahs were given to live by. A person must identify with the mitzvah. It must be correlated, close to him, not contrary to him. Therefore, v'chai bohem v'leishi yomus behem. So this is one general principle that we learn from this week's Sedra. A particular principle, however, that we learn, which is included in what we said, is we see that a person must be careful not to allow a mitzvah to become too difficult for him. Not allow a mitzvah to become too heavy for him. We see this is what the Torah did. If we would have gone with the regular structure of the Torah, so then the soldier would have been prohibited to take this woman. But because the Torah saw under such circumstances it would be too difficult for him, and mutav, it would be better that he should take her, even though it's not so good, it would be better that he should take her with permission than transgress the Torah. So therefore, the Torah took this all into consideration and made the mitzvah lighter to the person. Now this would seem as a very strange concept, because people like to think that mitzvahs are something which are very difficult to fulfill. Torah is something which is very difficult, and the more difficult the better. And how can one say that we should look to find to make mitzvahs easier for a person, make Torah easier for a person? But the truth is what we are saying now, and we have many sources for this. Now naturally, we are speaking within the confines of halacha. We're not saying that we should change the halacha, we should change Jewish law, because it's too difficult for us. If Jewish law was too difficult for us, then the Torah would have changed it, like we see here by Yefas Torah. Because mitzvahs had to be keneged ha'odom, correlate with man, identify with man, not be something that's contrary to him. But from here we learn that a person must be very careful not to allow a mitzvah to become too difficult for him, or Torah too difficult for him, within the structure of halacha. Otherwise, we can have the same fear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, If I'll make it too difficult, then it will not be fulfilled at all. But again, within the structure of halacha. And we have many sources of this. Let's cite some of the sources. One is what the Torah tells us. We must not add any more difficulties. We must not add to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us. And this is right in the beginning of the Sefer Torah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Adam, and this is in Bereishis Beis Tezayin, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim ala Adam lemor. Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded Adam saying, Mikol Eitz Hagon Ochol Techel. You can eat from all of the trees of the garden. Umeitz Hadas Tevero Leisechal Mimenu. But from the tree of knowledge, good and bad, you should not eat from it. Ki biyem achol chum mimenu meis tomus. And the day that you eat from it, you shall die. So what did the Kodesh Baruch Hu command to Adam? He said that you shall not eat from the Eitz Hadas, you shall not eat from the tree of knowledge between good and bad. A little later, in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, the serpent came to Chava. And the serpent asked Chava, did the Almighty say that you should not eat from all of the trees of the garden? And she answered, Mipri Eitz Hagon Nechel, no, we can eat from the trees of the garden. But Miprio Eitz Hashebeseh Hagan, but from the fruits of the tree which are in the garden, which is the tree in the middle of the garden, the Almighty said, Leisechlu Mimena Velesigolbe, you shall not eat from it and you shall not touch it. Pentamusun, lest you shall die. Now, what did Chava mean when she told the serpent that the Almighty said, you shall not eat from it and you shall not touch it? Who's speaking of touching it? The Almighty only told Adam, you shall not eat from it. So the Chazal say, and Rashi brings, Hosifa alat sivui. Hosifa alat sivui. That the commandment was added to. The commandment was added to. Most likely, Adam added to the commandment when he told Chava. But whoever added, the commandment was added to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you shouldn't eat. So they said, we shouldn't even touch. They made the mitzvah more difficult. They said more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. What came about it? What came about from this? Lefichach bo lidei grein. Because the commandment was added to. So this added to the detraction of the commandment. This added to the breakdown of the commandment. And that's what in Mishlei it says, Al teisif al dvorav. Do not add to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Why did this add to the breakdown? Because the Nohosh came to the serpent came to the woman and said, Lemos temusim, you will not die. And Rashi explains, Dochva ad shenogabo, he pushed her until she went up against the tree. And then he said, you have touched the tree and you're still living. Kishem shein misim in the gear, kachin misim achila. Just like you see you can touch the tree and there's no death. So from here you can learn also that you can eat from the tree and there won't be any death. So it was this heisofa, this adding to the tzivui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which brought the giroin, brought the breakdown of the whole structure. Had she only told the serpent, or had Adam told her, you shouldn't eat, don't make things more difficult than the Almighty made it, then the serpent couldn't have come and challenged her. See, you can touch the tree. What does that have to do with it? But because
you added, and you said, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, don't eat. We will say, don't eat and don't touch. Now the serpent had a way out. He pushed her against the tree. She touched it. He said, you see, you're still alive. This means, kishem she'ein misa benegiya kachem misa b'achila. Just like there's no death from touching, there's no death from eating. And this brought now a collapse to the whole situation. She ate. What were the ramifications? The consequences were the worst consequences that ever happened to the world. The worst consequences. Death was brought to the world. All types of tzores, all types of great pain and problems were brought to the world. The whole parnoso, like we mentioned before, that man has to sweat for his parnoso, and all of the difficulties that women has to go through, and so forth and so on. This was all brought. Had they not been meisiv ala tzivui, if they would not have added to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command, this might not have happened. Here's one instance where we see it. There are times when the Torah said that perhaps we should protect the mitzvahs of the Torah. But that has to be done with great, great wisdom. And that was given over to the Chachomim, to the leaders of the generation, and with a Sanhedrin, where the Sanhedrin came with all of their judges. And they would enact certain rules and certain harchokas, certain laws, to protect the laws of the Torah. But unilaterally, or individually, that a person should come and do more that the Torah is telling them. Not only it's not a mitzvah, but it's a gerayin. It will detract and can bring collapse to the whole basis. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos mentions the psychology. But the Gemara says, the Gemara is speaking there about Ner Chanukah. So the Gemara is talking that how high should we have and make it? The menorah. So the Gemara uses a lashon, Iachmiru kuli high. If you're going to be too machmir on him, if you're going to make it too difficult for him, he won't make it at all. We must always remember that. Another source is from the Vilna Gaon. Now the Vilna Gaon, as we well know, came probably to one of the highest levels that a human being can come to in the last good many centuries. He lived a few hundred years ago. But they say, and his writings testify, that he reached levels that perhaps Jews have not reached for centuries upon centuries. And he was a person who placed great demands upon himself. If you read about his life, or the way his disciples write of him, he placed great, great demands upon himself. He was a person that slept 2 hours in a 24-hour period. His total life was dedicated to learning of Torah and to doing of mitzvahs. And he was known not only as the Gaon, but as a Chosid, an extremely, extremely righteous person. The fact is, they say that before Rosh Hashanah, he could count the minutes of the year which he felt that he wasted, and he would do tshuva on it. Or the words he could count of the year that he felt that he uttered that did not have a prime purpose. This was the type of individual he was. So you would think someone like him was used to placing great strenuous demands upon himself, which no doubt he did. Yet consistently he writes contrary to this. In one place he writes that when you learn, you should not take a portion of the Torah which is too difficult for you. Why, he says, because it will end your learning career. If you take a portion of Torah that's too difficult, you'll become discouraged and you'll be finished with learning. Never learn something, he writes, and this was a person who had learned everything. The revealed Chochmah and the Nistar. He says he wrote some 40 Sforim on the Nistar, on the concealed Chochmah, on the concealed wisdom. He says, never learn something which is too much beyond your level. Yeah, naturally, you have to push yourself. But don't push yourself too much. Don't learn something which is too beyond your level. Why? Because it'll be kotz nafshoi. Then you won't have a good time. You won't have a good taste for the learning. It'll be all drudgery. If it becomes all drudgery, eventually v'holachle. Kotz nafshoi v'holachle. It'll become drudgery and you'll leave it. And this we see all the time. Therefore, to learn always within your level. Grow, but you must learn within your level. This is one thing he writes. A second thing he writes is in Mishle. Right at the beginning of Mishle. On the first posuk, or the second posuk of Mishle, states, Mishle Shlema ben David Melech Yisrael. These are the parables of Shlema, King Solomon. Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. Lodas chokhma u'musar, lohovin imre vino. To know wisdom and musar, and to understand what musar means discipline, from the word miyasir. Musar means discipline, self-discipline, instruction. This is what musar means. So Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, is saying that he's writing this Sefer Mishle in order that you should know wisdom and musar, in order that you should learn the art of discipline, the art of self-discipline, the art of self-control. Lohovin imre vino, and to understand the words of bino, of understanding. So what does that mean? To understand the words of bino. So the Gaon writes, the words of Bino, to understand the words of Bino mean Torah. Torah is called Bino. That even when you take Musar, even when you study Musar, self-discipline and self-control, he writes, it must only be through the light of Torah. Ki afim yishaber es yitzrei v'tavosei. Even when a person breaks his Yetzahora, and he breaks his Taivas, in other words, he curbs his desires, he uproots his desires, yira l'shaber b'derech haTorah. It must be broken only through the light of Torah. V'lo yetzadik harbe yesem ima shekosev b'Torah. And he should not be more righteous than the Torah has commanded. Just for example, he gives examples. The Torah didn't command you to fast, and now I want to initiate, or I want to implement self-control and self-discipline in myself, so I accept upon myself fast days. He says, you have to be careful with such a thing. The Torah didn't command the fast. Now you are disciplining yourself not in the light of Torah. So that's what Shlema HaMelech means when he says, Lodas chokhma hu musar, lohovin imre vino. That you should know the wisdom and musar, the self-discipline and self-control, but to understand it in the way of Torah. It must be together with Torah. It must not be a life to abstain. It must be a life of development in the way of the Torah. He says, Al tiyah tzadik harbe. Don't be too righteous. No, we wouldn't expect that coming from the Gaon. The Gaon came to the highest, highest levels of righteousness. Yet he's teaching us, don't be too righteous. Don't be more righteous than what the Torah said. That's how you become righteous like the Gaon. And then yet in another place he writes this consistently. We're just quoting a few. But in another place he writes in Mishle Yutes. Mishle Yutes, Posik Beis. Gambalei Das, Nefesh Leitev. A person that goes without Das is a Nefesh Leitev, that's a human being that's not good. He doesn't have goodness in his life. V'otz Beraglaim, and a person that jumps with his feet, Chete. then he's a sinner. What does all this mean? So first he says, Gambelei das. What does it mean that he goes without das? If a person does mitzvahs, but he doesn't study Torah, leitev, then he doesn't have a good life. What is it like? It's like a person, afisane go'odim b'cholam adanim, im le'yechal lechem, yenafsherov. A person who will taste everything that's good in the world, but he won't eat bread. He'll always be hungry. Because the Torah tells us, lechem yisad levav enish. Bread sustains a person. The bread of wheat sustains a person. If a person will go and he'll eat cake, and he'll eat biscuits, and he'll eat everything that's good, but not bread, he'll find that he's always lacking something. He's always hungry. So is the person who will fulfill all of the mitzvahs, but he won't study Torah. This is a gamba leidas nefesh leitev. He will be a nefesh leitev. He will never be satisfied. Also, he says, a person who does mitzvahs without the study of Torah, he will not know what those mitzvahs are. He will not know what the source of those mitzvahs are. Therefore, he cannot fulfill those mitzvahs with a great fire, with a great enthusiasm. See, he'll be leitev. Or he says also he'll be without the fear of Hashem, because the fear comes from Torah. Then what does it mean? Someone who jumps with his feet, he will be a sinner. And this he writes, when a person will be yargilo ode b'mideis of atevim, nasele keteva. If a person habituates himself to good midas, to good qualities, they become a part of him. Ach shetzorech leilech b'midas madrega ledargo, midargo ledargo. But when he grows in qualities, when he grows, when he develops his character, his personality, he must be careful to do it step by step. Kimahelech besulam, like someone who is climbing a ladder, v'layikpoitz lemadrega shein reilo, and he should not jump to a step which is not, he's not ready for yet. And that's what it means, otz beraglayim, someone who jumps. If someone jumps, then cheter, he will be a sinner. Now the word cheter has two meanings. It means he will sin, and also it means he will lack. So he says here he will lack, because if he jumps too high, too fast, then what will happen? He will fall. He will lose everything because he will fall. If a person is climbing a ladder, he climbs one step, a second step, a third step. All of a sudden he decides to go too fast. When he goes too fast, he'll lose everything that he gained. He says the same thing when it comes to mitzvahs and to midas. When he does mitzvahs, or he's instilling in himself qualities, and he's growing, he must be careful to grow step by step. If he goes too fast, then cheter, then he'll lose everything that he's gained till now. He'll fall. Again, we see this principle, that a person must be careful not to make things too difficult for himself. The emotion, or the feeling, that you should not undertake things which are too difficult, or make mitzvahs or Torah too difficult for one, this is a hargosh, or a feeling that comes directly from the Torah, like we see in this parsha. And this is what the Gaon is telling us. Don't add to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this much, fulfill it, don't add to it. Even though you think it might be easy to add to it, and it's something you can do, a great korban can come from there. And that's what we saw at the creation of the world. You want to discipline yourself, but it must be all in the light of the Torah. Not other disciplines. That's tzaddik harbe, that's being too righteous. We're only demanded to be righteous as much as the Torah commanded us. You want to climb, you want to steig, you want to grow. You want to grow in Torah, you want to grow in mitzvahs, you want to grow in midas, by all means. And nobody grew more than the Vilna Gaon. But he's telling us how to grow. How do you grow? Like a child walks. First the child moves, then the child crawls, then the child stands, then the child walks, then the child runs. If the child starts to run right away, he'll fall. And he can seriously injure himself. And even when it comes to learning, you must labor, you must work hard. If you feel you could labor and understand it, then pursue it. It's too difficult. And he said, leave it, go to something easier. Otherwise, kotz nafshei v'holach lei, it will become drudgery to you, and you'll leave it completely. Like the Gemara says, yachna kuli hai, yachmira kuli hai, if we make things too difficult for him, then he'll leave it completely. Another source that we have on this is a Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says that if a man steals some wood, and he builds it, he takes the wood and he builds something from it. Say he builds a bookcase from it. Now he wants to do tshuva. The only way you can do tshuva is by heshives akzeila shegozal. You have to return what you stole. And the Gemara says, since the bookcase can be taken apart, so he must take it apart and he must bring back the wood to the person and say, I stole it from you, here I'm returning it. This is the halacha. What happens if he comes and he says, look, I stole some wood from you, I built a bookcase with it, or I built a house with it, I don't want to dissemble my entire house or my entire bookcase. So here's money. And the man says, no, I want my wood back. So it's not a hashover. It's not considered that he returned it until he brings the wood. This is the halacha. The Chachomim came along and they said, no. They said that we're going to enact a special halacha where he can return the money. And whether the other person wants to accept it or not, he can return the money, the day of it is sufficient. Why? Because it's a mitzvah to make ziyur, especially for those who want to do tshuva. Here's a man who stole. He's a ganef. He's a rosha. Now he wants to do tshuva. It's a mitzvah lohokel al balei tshuva. It's a mitzvah to be lenient, to do things easy, make things easier for them. Because we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to great lengths to make things easier for the Baal Tshuva. Therefore, the Chachomim enacted such a halacha. This is a principle, Takonas Hashomim. This means, again, we see that there are times when it's a mitzvah to make mitzvahs easier for a person, not to make mitzvahs difficult for a person. To make mitzvahs difficult for another person, this does not come from a source in the Torah. To make mitzvahs easier for another person, there are thousands of sources of it. We see from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And especially if it's going to aid a person, assist a person in doing tshuva, in coming closer, in coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to seek the easiest ways. And this is brought in halacha. Brought in many halachas. This principle. And the source is the Gemara that in Masechet Sukkah. One final source. And that's an interesting Gemara. In Masech Techulin and Av Kufei. The Gemara brings Omar Mar Ukfa. Bar Ukva said, Anolo ho milsa, chala bar hamra, legabi abo. In one particular thing, he said, Bar Ukva said, I, compared to my father, am like vinegar compared to wine. What was that? Di ila abo, when it came to abo, my father, ki hava ochel bisro ho idno, le hava ochel gvinar lemocher. When he ate meat, when he ate meat today, he wouldn't eat cheese that same day. If he would eat meat today, he wouldn't eat cheese till tomorrow. Ad hashto. Until that time, he waited a period of 24 hours. Mila no, and I, boho sudo sehude le achilno, if I eat meat at one suda, so then at that same meal I won't eat gvin, I won't eat cheese. The suda sahrita achilna, but I'll eat cheese at the next meal. I only wait between meals, and that's the shear that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch 6 hours, because it was generally 6 hour period between meals. So Mar Ukva was praising his father, and he was saying that I don't come to my father. He says, if you compare me to my father, that's a comparison of like vinegar to wine, because when my father ate meat today, he wouldn't touch any milk or cheese till tomorrow. And I eat meat at one meal. I eat milk at the next meal. Now, the Tells the Rov, Rabbi Yosef Leiv, Zeichet Tzadik Levorocho, this was the old Tells the Rosh Hashiva. He asked a very strong question this Gemara. He said, Mar Ukva, this Hanhoga, this custom that his father had, how did Mar Ukva view it? Did he look at it with admiration, or did he look at it critically? We see that he looked at it with admiration, because he said, I'm like vinegar compared to my father, who was like wine. So he had admiration for it. Now, Mar Ukva was one of the rabbis of the Gemara. If he had such admiration for that custom of his father, so then why didn't he adapt it? Was it so difficult? We're talking here not of plain people. We're talking here of rabbis of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Imheim kamalochim onu kibnei odom, Imheim kibnei odom, onu kichamorim. That if they were like angels, we are like people. If they are like people, we are like donkeys. We're talking of tremendously great people here. If he held that what his father did was so good, so then why didn't he do it? When he ate meat one day, he shouldn't have eaten milk until the next day. Was that so difficult for him? If he didn't adapt it for himself, and evidently he didn't feel it was so good, so then why is he praising his father and saying that he's like vinegar compared to wine? This is the kasha, this is the question that Tells the Rav asks. So Neri writes a very astute answer. Of course he could have. It would have been no problem at all for him to eat meat and wait 24 hours before he'd eat milk. It wouldn't have been a big problem for him. Now this is a chumrah. This is not the din. The halacha is that you wait 6 hours between meals. So this was a chumrah. This was a midas chasidus. This was an extra that his father had accepted upon himself. It would not have been a great problem for Mar Ukva to accept this upon himself also. But he knew in himself that he did not have the insight into this custom that his father had. He knew it was a great custom, and he knew there were many reasons for it. But he personally did not have the understanding for it, nor did he have the sensitivity for it. He was not on that level. So for him to adapt it, this would be totally stupid. What's he going to do? Go do things that he doesn't understand and he doesn't know. And the Torah didn't demand it from him. That's a Maisekev Bialmo. That's the act of a monkey, that's not the act of a human being. The Gemara says that the difference between the human being and the monkey is that the human being does with mind and heart, and the monkey copies. The word kof in Hebrew means to copy, to duplicate. And the monkey was given a great power where he can duplicate what a human being does. But he's a duplicator. Doesn't do it with mind and heart. And with soul? So for him to adapt it, it's totally unreasonable. Why should he adapt difficulties that the Torah did not command of him, that he has no understanding in? He realizes it's not at his level at all. So what should he adapt it for? Stam chumras to make things more difficult for himself. This not. At the same time, he knew there was great wisdom in this. There was great kiddusha, great sanctity in this, that his father knew of. That's why he said, Ano kechala ben chamro. I am like vinegar compared to wine. Not that I'm like vinegar compared to wine because my father did it and I didn't do it. I'm like vinegar compared to wine that my father was capable of doing it. With all of its kedusha, with all of its sanctity and all of its wisdom. And I'm not capable of doing it. So here again we see that if a person is capable of doing something and capable of understanding it and capable of all of its sanctity, he has the Torah to go with it, then by all means he must adapt it. But if he's not, if it's beyond, then it's not for him. And if he does, it's a danger point. It's a danger point. Because if it's Iachmira kuli hai, if it's too much for him, then it'll come to be mavatal everything. It's like the Gaon says, he'll jump too high. Cheti, he'll lose everything. So we have two principles from tonight's Sedra. From this part. Firstly, that we see that mitzvahs have to identify with people. These concepts we're saying are very simple concepts in the structure of Torah. But you should realize they're very strange concepts in our time. First thing is, mitzvahs must identify with people. They must go hand in hand with people. They were given to people. They weren't given to angels. They were given to earthly beings. And therefore, when the Torah sees that a mitzvah is too difficult for a human being, then it's not a mitzvah. And the mitzvah be yesoda. The mitzvah from its very foundation has to be refashioned, like we see here by Yefas Torah. And that's because mitzvahs correlate and identify with the nefesh odom, with the soul of the human being. The reason why there are 613 mitzvahs, 365 which correlate to the tendons of the body, and 248 which correlate to the limbs of the body. So a mitzvah is not something which is far away from a person, or above the person, or below the person, or to the right, or to the left. And that's what it says in Parshas Nitzavim, Le Bashomayim Hi, Le Nevar Aryam Hi, Le Nifles Mimenu. It's not away from you, it's not far away from you, it's in you. The power, the ability to fulfill mitzvahs in Torah is within the human being, not from without the human being. That's the first principle. The second principle we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very worried that a mitzvah shouldn't become too heavy for a person. And therefore he lightens the load. So we saw he was very worried about the soldier. He held it wasn't good that he should go take this Yefas Teir. Is not going to bring him any broch into his house. It's not good. But if the mitzvah becomes too heavy, then he'll do it b'Yisr. Once he does it b'Yisr, who knows what will happen? It could chase him away from Torah entirely. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned that a mitzvah shouldn't become too heavy. From here the Chazal learned we also must be concerned that a mitzvah must not become too heavy for a person. We must look how to make mitzvahs closer to people, easier to fulfill. Torah itself easier to fulfill, Torah itself easier to learn. Because if we make it too difficult, then it can become Shema Yipol, he'll fall. And this is from the Torah. We brought many sources. We brought from Adam and Chava how he wanted to make it more difficult. And how the Gaon says that you should not jump, and the Chazal made it easier for the Takonis HaShovim, for those who want to return, will make the Halacha easier. This is very important, and especially in our generation, because in the past generations, the people lived under the light of Torah. And the Torah shed its light on exactly how a mitzvah should be done. Today, unfortunately, the Holocaust destroyed, and we don't have the light of Torah so much anymore. And you get all kind of opinions, and all kind of attitudes and approaches as to what mitzvah should be. And we're not guided so much by the Or HaTorah. And that's what the Gro brought out, that when Shlaima HaMelech said that listen to the Musar that I'm teaching you, Imre Bino, that's only with the light of Torah. With the light of Torah, then we can define exactly what the mitzvahs are. These are very important principles that we see from this week's Sedra, and we should be zecher to use these principles in our lives of Torah and mitzvahs.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.